Thomas Edison Board of Directors meeting, January 22nd.
All right. We can, I think this is, Mr. Pinkett told me that he wasn't going to be present. Mr. Brown is out of town, and Mr. Bossom is recovering from illness, actually has shingles, or something along those lines. So I think this is who we'll have for tonight. Can I get a motion for us to open up?
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Ooh.
Second to open?
I don't know, but I'm going to go with it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, cool. So we have the reading of the minutes. Does everybody have a copy of the minutes? Or everybody who would like a copy, do they have a copy? All right. We'll just give you a moment just to peruse that in case you haven't already. Are there any corrections or feedback on the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Thanks. The motion to accept. Can I get a second?
Second.
Cool. Minutes have been properly approved and seconded. Can I get a all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Awesome. Public comment. Do we have any parents? Any parent comment?
Public comment.
Sure.
So last week was Raising Kings Week with One Village Alliance. It was a community event where they had several speakers and workshops. But it had a I Have a Dream Martin Luther King pitch competition. My son Elijah, who is a former student of Thomas Edison, made a pitch along with four other young men, and he did win. He won $1,000, and he was able to have the opportunity, I guess, to instill his program. So his pitch was to have an after-school program that gave college readiness to middle school students. He feels like high school sometimes a little too late to give programs, and he wanted to target low-income middle school boys in the 7th and 8th grade that have A and B grades and that are goal-oriented and in their community. So he said he picked those targets because that's who he was at that age. So he got a lot of people wanting to work with him and things like that. He's featured in a couple articles. And he was very adamant that he wants to do that program here at Thomas Edison. So just wanted to go ahead and mention that.
Cool. Was did he like need to be put in contact with anyone at Thomas Edison or anything like
contacts.
That?
What's up? He's throwing away heavy names.
She's
like
No.
Oh, he came out swinging with the heavy names.
Well, you know, a single mom was telling me as soon as she won the pitch.
Well, she is the,
Christina said, "Listen, we got some schools we'd love for you to do your program over there." And Darrell Green, who used to be assistant superintendent in Brandywine, is now works for the governor of the state with all of the Wilmington schools. He was saying, "I got some schools I want you to work with." But he said, "No, I think I'd like to start with my own."
Cool. Any other parent comment? About teachers. Got a couple of teachers here. Any teacher comment? Cool. Any general public comment? All right. We can start with the school report.
I'll offer comment on behalf of the teachers, because I know they really enjoy themselves at the luncheon, that the staff luncheon for the holiday. They gave that comment in unison. And right. I witnessed that myself because the food was delicious.
Hopefully next year, this year, we'll be back to our normal routine and we can go out. But that was a good, good intern just to.
Yeah. Great service, it's good. So at our last meeting,
a little different. You got a new little new header.
We're trying to step our game, raise the bar. So we got to gotta follow. All
right.
So it's official. State Board approved our charter. So we're well on our way to meeting the conditions on the charter and implementing on the recommendations from the state. Again, staff enjoyed the luncheon, so we appreciate the board for their generosity. We're about to embark on our sixth year of doing Saturday school, and always popular with our students.
When does that start?
February 3rd, that begins, so we have six Saturday school sessions scheduled for our young people. That'll be from 9 to 12.
How does that work? So is that just entirely voluntary?
It's voluntary. We have students we recommend. We're prepared for, any of the students to attend. The problem is the parents have to get them here themselves. We tried buses one year, but they were missing the buses, not on time, and it became an expense. So we found that when we did provide transportation, we had about the same number of students who are here. So we're really going to push.
Cool. And how many staff take part in that?
We have about 10 staff members.
Cool.
So we have about 100 or more kids that attend. So it's usually like a nice small 10-to-1 ratio where they could really get some nice small group of tents.
Cool.
So what we do also is for our students that are advanced, if they come, which we're really going to market this year, is those students actually go to Saturday school with the grade one level up from them. So if you have a child who's in the third grade, they're really doing well, when they come to Saturday school, they go to fourth grade. So this actually gives them some exposure to some advanced instruction. So it becomes attractive for those parents who have students who are doing well, but also those students who need extra support, they can come in and get that support.
So principal, go ahead.
Is it all day or half day?
It's half day. It's 9 to 12. And then what we do is we have students who never want to go home, after the kid. We have parents who, my child told us not over to 3 o'clock. No, it's over at 12. But we open the gym up so they can go in and get a little activity. Because a lot of them, they don't get a chance to go outside and play. So we give them a little gym time, get a little exercise.
Well, principal, this year, I'm going to try to get a little out ahead of, I know in the past, at the end of it, we've always been trying to determine some sort of compensation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get who's involved, and let's just let that be something that's a little less stressful towards the end of it. We can just get that worked out.
Okay.
Before it's over.
Okay. Usually what we do is we usually have it. We have it, but we budget for it every year. But what we'll do is we'll be more strategic and look at how, who we're paying and how we're going to pay people beforehand. Look at that.
Cool.
So our boys and girls basketball teams, basketball season is rolling. Our drumline and pep band performed before the 87th game last week. Every year they do a big game, invite all the schools from the state to come. So it's a great time. Our second trimester product reports are being distributed. This bad weather has really been a beast this school year. So we really missed some time. So we were scheduled to have a half day this Wednesday.
Okay.
So we made that a full day of school to kind of make up.
Was that going to be like an in-service
day? It was going to be an in-service day. So we'll get that in at another time. But we really have, especially with this being a strong flu season as well, we've had a good number of students who really haven't been in school much since the New Year, so we're trying to take advantage of that. Over the holiday break, facilities painted the kitchen and buffed all of the hallway floors. We had a fire alarm inspection, successful inspection, and the boiler motor is being being repaired. I'm almost sure they came today to do the final repair on the boiler. The motor had to be ordered, and I know that we're getting quotes on. We're trying to add the heat that little 15-degree days. We discovered is those hallway heaters that we have, they don't really work very well in those heaters, in those hallways near the kindergarten wing. So we have the Service Unlimited, our service company, looking at some options to keep those pipes from freezing up in there. So I told Jesse to send you an email to update you, Jerry, on that, on what's being done with that work. Now, there's a shed also that we have out back where we have the water pipes actually run through that shed to feed into our heater from the boiler. And that shed is like outside, so they freeze. So they're looking to find a way to heat some kind of low-level heating for that as well. So I did ask Jesse to update the operations committee on that.
Cool. And this is in the hallways or the staircases?
Yeah, the hallway stair. Even the heaters that are on, the heaters that are in the staircases in general don't generate a lot of heat. They put off enough to keep you from needing a coat when you walk the steps, but they don't generate a lot. The one in that kindergarten wing, it gets real cold in that area, and I think over the holiday, it actually froze up. Okay. So they're recommending that we move away from that model of heating and go to an electric heater, which won't freeze up. And then also, we have water lines that run through that area, so that'll keep those pipes from freezing, you know, as well. So I think they're looking at some cost estimates and some ideas. So Jesse will be sending that info over, getting input from
the okay.
Okay, and that's it for the principal report.
Any questions or comments for Principal?
Yeah, the number of suspensions in school asked, was that for the week or the month? How did that work as of this date? Is that total for the year?
That's actually just for today. Yeah, that's for today. That's year to date. So it's up to this report. This school report is generated a week before the board meeting. So it's up to a week ago. Today. And we try to do more in school suspension. Years ago we had much higher suspension numbers, but we're trying to minimize it because there have been all kind of civil rights suits. Looking at the number of male and minority students who receive suspension and exposures from school. So we're finding alternatives to suspending students from school right away, finding teachers that have been cooperative with moving students, and then using our in-school suspension, using detentions and those kinds of things to keep our numbers down. There are some cases where you have to suspend students,
right.
But if we're not mandated to suspend them, we try to find alternatives. Because when they're suspended, they're not in school.
Right.
They're not in school, they're not learning.
So, principal, for an in-school suspension, is that typically a day or can that be multiple days?
Those are typically 1-2 days max. But in your rare cases, you may have a student that's there for 3 days. But that student's in school and that work comes down from the teacher. And they're in school, they're able to eat, they're safe, and then they're still receiving instruction.
Have you found that the in-school suspensions have been successful, meaning that maybe the kids turn around after a while, or do they have where it's just certain?
Usually it takes a couple of in-school suspensions for it. Some they never ever come.
Okay.
Some they may come once, but there are a few that, now you have some that'll come, they come. We also use it as a timeout opportunity as well, so maybe the child doesn't need a full day of in-school suspension, but they just need maybe 45 minutes. So you have some students that may come for a small respite there, but for most students, it's one time, they don't come back. But we do have sort of some regular customers who come from time. But you know, to be honest with you, you know, in-school suspension is largely it's run by most like men.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, I'm sure there's some young people that probably just come down there just for that interaction. You know, I often say that the children who need the most love ask for it in the most unloving ways.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times there may be a reach out for them. So we've moved to a more trauma-informed approach, the way we deal with students who have these issues. You know, before, a lot of times in education, students would misbehave. And, you know, we would sort of ask the students, what's wrong with you? There's so many students who are dealing with mental health issues and issues at home, and now our approach is what has happened to you to cause you to behave this way. Because there are so many young people who have gone through so much trauma in their own lives that once they get to school, they don't even know how to deal with people who really care about them, who really are trying to support them. So they just react in ways that may not necessarily be positive. But we do find there's some students, and we try to recognize them as well, who have been sort of like in-school suspension all-stars, but you don't see them anymore. They've a couple of them, Ms. Wine is mentoring. A lot of them will, you know, especially if they're young ladies, we refer her because every year she mentors a group of young people, young ladies. And we find that when they find those mentors, you tend to see them less in school suspension.
Cool. You mentioned the trauma piece, and I know that's been big as of late. What extra type of support other than the staff there is given? Is there any outside psychologist or psychiatrist that and then in addition to that, you know, do you think there's a need for any additional support that would help that group?
Well, there's definitely a need for it. Well, you used to work here, so
yeah,
you know.
And I know, well, yeah, well, I'm being recorded, so I got to ask a good question.
It's expensive when you talk about additional psychology and that kind of thing. So we do have a behavior a coordinator and a family crisis therapist that comes funded by the state, but yeah, right on site. So they provide additional support, you know, for our families. And then we work with Delaware Guidance and other, you know, other organizations. But there's a need. If somebody just dropped a boatload of money and said, listen, you can build anything you want to build onto the school, what would it be? Right up there at the top would be a mental health center with maybe a clinic, some dental and that kind of thing right on site, because we do have a large number of our families. And this is not just isolated to Edison. It's our community.
Yeah.
And globally it's an issue that there's a large number of families that are dealing with mental health issues, and they're untreated. See, that's a big issue, is that they're not even being diagnosed or not even, you know. In some communities, it's sort of viewed as sort of a black eye to have mental health issues. So a lot of times it won't be acknowledged or it won't be addressed, and you'll find students who are dealing with being bipolar, schizophrenic at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know, students who are 5, 6, 7 who have already been in Rockford, who've already been in the Terry Center as a kindergartner, as a first grader. And so you can imagine then asking a teacher to then try and sit down, you know, and work with a young person. And as teachers, we don't get that kind of training, in, you know, in school, but we're being asked to do more every day, every year. So there is a need, and we do get services from the state. But a lot of times, I see even those people, a lot of times, they're like, their hands are in the air, like, you know, what can I do? It's like, there's really not much I can do. This child needs, you know, so much, you know, so much more. So I think that's something that we could really use the state. We could really use more support for the state with that.
Principal, I was wondering, with the report cards going out and testing probably like 2 months away, how are we looking academically in terms of insight as to how we're going to be performing this year?
So testing is probably more like 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, is it May? It's not more, long March? Okay.
Yes, we have a little more time, but we're already preparing. So we're talking with them. So in our meeting, we have a leadership meeting on Wednesday morning where we'll be discussing with our leadership team, talking about improving the level of questioning in our classrooms, also in assessing our students in the manner in which they'll be tested. So students need to be critically thinking, problem solving, explaining the answers. We have been getting benchmark results from STEP testing.
Saturday school is a good opportunity for us to target at least the kids that are there with some skills that they'll find out as well.
The Saturday school only runs in February, so it's just one time in the school.
March.
Six
March
sessions.
Right.
So, we don't do it every Saturday.
Yeah.
So I try to get the teachers a break because, you know, they need family time. So we'll do, you know, we'll do maybe one or two, then we'll give them a break. Then we'll do. So we strategically do it so it runs into
the testing.
Right. Because you have that spring break in there, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I obviously wasn't on the board when the test results came. Did the board get a copy of, I guess, the results of the test from Thomas Edison?
Yeah.
Can somebody get me those?
Mm-hmm. Get that.
So we'll know. I mean, we'll know more as we get closer to. But I think that we'll see. We'll see a definite benefit from the students who come to Saturday school and students in the after school program as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything? Anybody else for anything on Principal L? All right. Can we get a motion to accept the school report?
Make a motion that school report, principal school report, be accepted.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Yeah. All right, Ms. Winder.
Everyone has the December 31st financial update. We have collected so far $7.2 million of revenue. And that leaves us at a positive $288,000 variance. We did receive $1,700,000 in the district funds. So we're still expecting $81,000 in district funds, and we should receive those at some point this month. If you turn on page 2 and look at the bottom, we received all the funds from Red Clay, and it has in the difference column what's left to receive from the different districts. So far, we have expensed $4.6 million, and it leaves cash on hand of $2.7 million approximately. Per the actual forecast, June 30th, 2018 figure, we are expected to end the year at $124,000 positive excess. So, provided that, you know, everything goes as forecasted. Does anyone have any questions on
no.
any of the details?
So at the bottom of page 2 that Ms. Winder talked about, that's one of my favorite sections because it just shows the distribution of our entire population by school district. I always find that interesting. So APO has 5 students, mm-hmm. and they owe money. Red Clay has 151, and they're all paid up. So it's always I always find that. I always find that interesting at the bottom. Outside of that, I mean, I think we're in decent shape. Any other questions for Ms. Winder?
I was just looking at you. We got 5 students from them.
Yep.
And we get 7,000 from them.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
How's that work, Ms. Linda? Because in general.
Oh, that's not the total amount. That's
it's just the local.
Local, yeah.
Just the local funds.
It's just all of us are getting low.
Oh, definitely just the local funds.
Yeah.
So in general,
the state funds are calculated at the very top line on the first page.
But in general, you get roughly 10,000 or close to it per student,
about nine
something. And of that,
the majority is state. And each district we receive. We receive different amounts depending on
okay, I got you.
Their formula.
Mm. Okay.
So we won't receive the same from Red Clay as we do Colonial, as we do Brandywine, as we do Apple.
It does seem a little light, though.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's about $1,000 per student. Like $1,200. It looks like it's about $1,000 per student, if you look at it.
Well, I was looking for that.
It's like we only got a small number. They'll never notice that.
Right.
Yeah, so just on a straight average, if I look at the other districts, they're all much higher. But that was a good question.
I'll check that out.
Cool. That was good fun, Principal.
Well, I
mean, I don't know if anything else, but I shouldn't.
I really don't think it was fun, too, but I just, when you said that was your favorite section, I always want to make sure I check out your favorite section.
No, that's good. Any other comments? Cool. All in favor of the approving the school the financial report?
I'm sorry, I didn't have a question. I was looking at the titles, a title before I asked, try to line up organization chart. Who's the school director? That's you. So then who's the chief school officer?
Principal L is the chief school officer. I'm the director.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
And then who's the special support services? That's just a group of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Assistant principal and dean together. Okay, that's all I needed.
Nice. This is good. I often feel like going through the financials is like going through the motion exercise, so it's good when people ask questions that everyone's paying attention to it. All in favor of the finance report?
Do we have a motion?
Can I get a motion to approve the report?
I make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Properly motion. Can I get a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor of receiving the financial report?
Aye.
Any opposition? The ayes have it. All right, so this is the last month that you get to hear me talking during these sections. Mr. Cooper is super excited about taking this over.
Oh, I am.
Oh, yeah. We've met several occasions. You met with Miss Wander. As soon as I switch the signer for a check, so we'll be good to go. Can you pass those around for me?
Just one sheet, right?
Yeah, it's just one sheet.
Okay.
I mean, the first thing Mr. Cooper noticed, which was a very valid one, is, you know, we are at a time where we should be diversifying our accounts. We have one account. We've also been approved by the board to open our fundraising account, which came right as we were having some board transition. So now that Mr. Cooper is in his role, we can open that and begin to. We've made a $15,000 commitment from the Thomas Edison Board, and we'll be able to use that going forward as we solicit donations and things of that nature. Outside of that, we haven't had many expenses. Phase five is so. This school, we pay a $24,000. Mortgage, which was more of a renovation loan. But we pay a mortgage to the actual owner of the building, which is phase five, which is like $15,000 a year. Neglected to do that last year. So there were two payments made for that. Outside of that, very normal activity. Caught up on things that I had not done. Pritchett Associate provided a couple of substitute teachers a couple of months ago that I never paid out, and that's been paid. One thing that didn't appear on here that occurred outside of the month was Lamont Brown who assisted with our charter renewal. So I just wanted to mail his payment and contacted him, and he was happy with that. So out of that, any questions? Sure.
It's called learning. So for the purchase of care, so the board pays Thomas Edison purchase?
Nah, so what it is the purchase of care should go directly to the school, but oftentimes they'll put it in the foundation account. Well, all the time they seem to put it in a foundation account. And then Ms. Winder will charge us. She'll say, you owe today, I brought in a $14,000 check. We paid directly what that was to Thomas Edison.
Because they require us to use a different tax ID number than the state, which the school uses. And the foundation has a different tax ID number.
So it does that on purpose?
Yeah, because it would be the state paying the state. So they got to send the money someplace else.
Is that the same with the substitute teachers? Or was that the situation?
Just that one time.
Yeah, that was abnormal. The board at that time got some substitute teachers, and that was that. But that's outside of any sort of normal practice.
School surveys for September.
Oh, yeah. Go for the juggler, why don't you?
That was what? And did we get results back? And if so?
That was, I mean, to be frank, that was so under
previous
leadership, it was determined, it was in October, I think. So, Gonis Williams was contacted in August and was asked to do a climate survey on the school. The survey was to cost $10,000. I believe that was the total cost. She came in and did a portion of that. She was paid an amount. I'm pretty sure we have not gotten any results from that. Actually, it's probably worth reaching out to her just to get something for what was done. And I don't and it wasn't, I don't believe, completed.
Were the school surveys for climate, was it for teacher climate, student climate, parent climate? Who were supposed to be surveyed?
Teachers and staff.
Do you guys remember a survey being performed?
No, we were administrators were interviewed.
Okay.
Administrators were interviewed, and so it started with administrators. It was supposed to include, full disclosure, I wasn't necessarily part. I don't know what the total agreement was, so I'll definitely find that out. But it was to be the administrator, and then the teachers. As you can see from the timing of the payment, this came at a time that was very transitional and not a good time. So it was contrary to our culture, to our climate. This was not a good climate time, and it was not completed. And I quite frankly don't know what the plan was for that. I think what happened was this started. We went through a period of turmoil, and it was never completed, if I had to guess.
So can we look at there would have had been, I guess, a proposal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then see what wasn't, and maybe if we can utilize that in the future or something, but just a way of, because I don't know if they'll return money, but just figure out what are the terms so we can see.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Well, we should be able to get something for that money. Yeah. Like we didn't get the services. Yeah. And you got the money. Exactly. We should be able to get some service for what you were paid.
Even if it turns out to be different than what the initial ask was, right? Because that has a value. So whatever service is deemed an equitable value could be provided. So we can definitely do that. I will reach out to Mr. Mr. Pinkett handled that negotiation, so I'll get some information on that.
I can go over that thing with you too as well, if you need any assistance. I can look over the proposal, see what.
Oh yeah, absolutely, sure. So and then we can you know, let's just say at our next board meeting we can discuss that.
Sorry that you had to answer for that, because it's hard to answer. You weren't responsible for, you know, the initial
things. Yeah, so no. But no,
stepping up.
No, but it's a good question, and I mean, it doesn't relieve us of fiduciary responsibility to make it use of dollars. So certainly a good question. All right. Well, we know who pays attention.
One more item.
Sure.
So I remember before we talked about paying the deposit for the playground was installed, and then we said we had sent off the last payment, like everything was done. But I don't see where it says like final payment or remain, like did we already?
Yeah.
It's not reflected in here. I see the playground deposit.
Yeah. So so on November 6th, so check 1725 was for $21,135, and then there was a another.
Was that
the
phases? Is that, no, that's
not
phase
five. No. 11/06. I'll have to see when our initial payment was for that. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, that was the initial. You're talking about the final.
Oh, the final.
It's not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check.
That will be after that. That's.
It might not have cleared in December. I'll check that. Ms. Wine, there was the final payment again. Did you refresh my mind? Remember? It's like 24,000.
You can put it all together like 60,000.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check on that.
40. 39.
I might have cleared in January. I'll check on that. Yeah, because the total, I think, was $63,000.
I remember you saying that you definitely paid them, so maybe... Like,
yeah, well, what I should have did was reflected on here, even if it happened clear, but I'll update that. I think that might have cleared in January, and this goes through the end of December.
So can I make a motion that this will be approved after you check to see if that... If the payment cleared in this time frame, then it'd be reflected in this.
Oh, it definitely has not cleared in this time
frame. Oh, then it's fine.
Yeah, no, I haven't. So this is reconciled to the bank balance.
Oh, okay, then that's fine.
But what I'm saying that could have, what would have been a more accurate portrayal would be to, like a checkbook, you know, I could show it, even though it has not cleared, even though it has not cleared yet. But I feel more comfortable. I'll check on that, and then I'll present it. Because number one, let me make sure that was paid, and number two, I'll just confirm if it cleared. So I'll hold on that. I won't. It's no rush. You don't have to leave it.
Oh, you want them back?
No. It's still yours. But I'll follow up on that, and then we can I'll present it along with next month's financials, so we can vote on it at that time.
I pass them back. I take them.
next up is Mr. Cooper. So we, Mr. Cooper, maybe I'll let you speak.
No, continue on.
So we talked about the curriculum committee, and so we had a curriculum committee. It kind of served this purpose. It never ended up being more than really our board member, Patsy Pipkin Perry. We don't install a curriculum every year. And talking to Ms. Yates and Principal Ellen and Mr. Cooper, this really should change, right? It should change in this form. So what me and Mr. Cooper talked a bit this weekend over breakfast, and we thought that this a more appropriate title might be an achievement committee, right? And you know, Erica, you were talking about. The test scores and things of that nature, right? So the achievement committee would be able to kind of help in that area, monitor, help us achieve goals. In our charter renewal, we had to provide goals with different increases, you know, and you would kind of be able to be the board's representation in that area. And both of you have expressed interest in that area, so you could really develop it along with the admin to be what you would like it to reflect, which is more than just a curriculum. It would be more of achievement and more of a living, breathing sort of committee that is able to assist in partnership with the admin team.
Okay.
Mr. Cooper, you have anything you want to?
Let me check the manual, because that was one of the concerns.
Yeah, so
that
one.
I had. It's not listed.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
the board committee.
So one of the concerns is, of all the committees in our board manual has a mission, right? And what the mission was. Curriculum committee was kind of adjunct committee created along the way, and that was really open-ended, right? It's not really a set sort of thing. I talked to Mr. Pinkett about it. He said he thought at some point we did come up with a specific mission that Patsy was kind of developing, but I still think that it's an opportunity for us to just make this. There's no need in having something just to have it because you had it, right? So we should make it be something that is meaningful. So I think that this could be more meaningful, and that you two would be able to help it to you know, in conjunction with Ms. Yates and Principal L, and talk about, you know, what are some reasonable goals that we could do. Any thoughts on that, Principal L and Ms. Yates? So henceforward, I don't have to vote that. I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna refer to this as an achievement committee. We can talk about what that means and what the mission is with that. But I think we agree that curriculum is probably not the way to go. All right. So, anything else on that,
Mr. Well, Sam? Yeah, because one of the duties that the previous president put in to that committee was the wellness committee. So, I do have one piece of additional information to pass out concerning wellness. And if everybody would take a copy, basically the teachers may be aware of this. The committee has moved forward. One of the things trying to do is some wellness in terms of basically tied in, as you can see here, with New Year's resolutions, wellness. And they do have a spot in the teacher's lounge dealing with that as well. So asking people to turn these in. It was also recommended that if the board members wanted to participate in this, do some running, do some walking, that could be get involved with that as well.
So, Mr. Cooper, the old curriculum committee consisted of curriculum and wellness, or was there a separate wellness thing, or was this just a part?
Why you started that? Wellness was just something the curriculum committee adopted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't the intended goal.
But it was something that they pulled along with.
Yeah. I mean, wellness should be a part of everything we do, you know, emotional or physical. But it was just something that curriculum committee sort of adopted that as part of their, under their umbrella.
He's been polite. He used the word adopt. I think it was forced.
It was forced, okay.
The state.
Well, somebody else answered some of them questions.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, but so Mr. Cooper, is this something that like staff and school could come up with some goals? Is that what you thought?
You want to expand on that?
This was distributed to the staff, right?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the loans?
Yeah.
We were mandated to have through the federal breakfast and lunch program.
Oh.
all schools have to have one. And we have to meet 4 times a year. We have to bring about activities for staff, for students, and most of us, a lot of us here, are on the committee. And this is something we want to do for staff. The nurse and the counselor and the crisis interventionists are doing something for students.
So it's mandated by the state that the school adopt these wellness policies, but it wasn't mandated that curriculum committee adopted.
Right.
That kind of was, as Cooper said, was sort of forced on them.
But they want to include the board, the community, the parents.
And
post it on the website.
Right. And that is one of the goals of the overall. That's what it's from the federal government, the state government, and they're saying because we participate in the free and reduced program funding for that through the federal government, then they have required that we have a wellness committee, and then there's certain goals and objectives that we have to meet.
Try
to meet. And that's what this is about. So trying to do that. And a lot of things the school had done before.
Okay.
In terms of participating in running events, in terms of the staff, the things that we do, looking at the data from the PE program, how much time the students spend in terms of recess, all that's looked at, as well as the lunch program and the breakfast program. How does that run? All that. So all that's into the report under the wellness piece.
We have a policy.
Yeah. So we have that. Okay. So that's really all that I have concerning the achievement.
Can we vote on this as an official report?
No, because it's I think hopefully by the next meeting we'll have at least have some kind of draft of the mission and purpose targets or something for the achievement committee.
Cool. Operations committee. Do you have anything?
I don't have a report, but I'll follow as soon as I get an email from Jesse. I'll follow up on what's happening with the plant here in terms of the boilers and the heaters. Other than that, we had closed out most of the stuff that we had, which was with the playground and with the park outside. Okay, and I think we paid the last of the masonry bill, so there wasn't really anything that we had pending. So I'll wait to hear regarding these electric heaters.
Okay, perfect.
Question.
Hmm?
A statement.
Mm-hmm.
One question. For the personnel committee, well, first, do we have to accept his thing?
I don't know that it was an official report.
I don't have one to.
I read over the bylaws that the open, but in there, what I saw was there was like an attendance that board members should have, like that they should be coming. But I know I've been attending them since, I guess, September. I saw Mr. Pinkett once or twice. Do we know what his standing is or if he's interested, what's going on with that? And if maybe we can, as a board, address what his commitment level is and maybe figure out what he may want to do. And I saw a couple other people that I see on the list, but I don't necessarily see them present. And maybe
you
look at that.
Sure. So Mr. Pinkett has not told me that that he intends to step down. He's told me that he intends to fulfill his term, which expires in November, and he didn't have an intention of running after that term expired. But he was present for the annual meeting in November for our election of officers and has missed December and January. So, I could definitely, and both of those, I was just given some conflicts as to why he wouldn't make it. So I can definitely follow up with him on that. Miss Waters, I have not been told that she's the only other one on here that kind of fits that category, and I haven't been told that she's our other parent rep that she intended to step down.
And we spoke to her last month and asked if she had intended to stay on the board. She said she did. She wants to stay on the board. I know her work schedule. She works
some evenings. Yeah, she works for the post office. But I can just reach out to them both and, you know, just kind of say, hey, you know, we missed you, and the board was just asking your opinions. So I'll do that for them both. As far as the others, I think that outside of here or there, conflicts have been pretty consistent. All right. I'll also talk to Mr. Pinkett on the personnel committee as well, to see if that's something that he even intends to still do. All right, executive committee. Okay, so one of the things that, so for the last 3 months, you know, we've just kind of provided an opportunity to both the public, the board itself, and the staff to submit, you know, names of candidates to be board members. It wasn't something I wanted to rush to do. We still have 3 vacancies, and we still have opportunities to fill vacancies. So this isn't by any means a we're good. Still continue to present names of folks that you think if you. Are unsure of how to do so, you need only email me with a resume and name, and that's all that's needed to be considered as a candidate. I would get that out to the rest of the board, and that'll be something that we'll consider. That does not have to come from a board member, doesn't have to come from a staff member. It can come from the general public. Just kind of filter those. I can give my email address. Principal L can also receive those names and resumes, and he'll be sure that he and I will touch base on anyone that's presented. With that being said, I did want to, and I have circulated a few resumes. On my page. Does everybody have different handouts to that board end today? I just think it's easier if you can have a visual as we speak. Okay, so the first candidate that I wanted to share with is Rupa, who's present tonight. I've actually Principal L probably 2 months ago, about two and a half months ago, spoke with me about Rupa. You know, we had some conversation. She's attended a board meeting. She attended the board meeting when we weren't necessarily at our wasn't exactly a shining moment. So the fact that she didn't say you guys are nuts is was appreciated. But in all seriousness, I'll just read over Just read aloud and feel free to read to yourself. But this is an excellent profile. She handles complex civil litigation, including defense of physicians, other medical professionals, and healthcare facilities and claims of medical and professional negligence. She also represents healthcare providers before the Delaware Board of Medical Licensure and Discipline and the Delaware Board of Nursing and other state boards and agencies. Prior to joining White & Williams, Rupa served as Deputy Attorney General in the Civil Division of the Delaware Department of Justice, where she represented the state of Delaware and its agencies and officials, litigating a diverse range of actions, including employment matters and civil rights actions in both state and federal courts. Rupa is actively involved in several professional and community organizations in Delaware. She's an associate member of the Delaware Board of Bar Examiners, serves as the secretary for the Delaware chapter of the South Asian Bar Association, and is a member of the Delaware Law Related Education Center. Ms. Savison was also chosen in 2016 to be a Delaware Leadership Fellow, a highly selective program designed to recruit and mentor young members in the state of Delaware. And then, just has some of our information on the right there. This was my personal opinion. Just kind of fills a void that we have on our current board. And one thing that we said we wanted to do was have people that can have specific areas of expertise, and law is one that we've had a void since our resignation. I would like to recommend her and present her to the board. Principal Al, I don't know if you had any comments.
I just think she would add a lot to our board. Mm-hmm. And her visit to the school, one of the questions we had was the vision that we had.
Yep.
For the school. We talked about increasing fundraising and advancing the school and being able to add her expertise, and she's excited to be a part of us, growing, our vision here, with the board. So I think she'd definitely be an asset, along with the fact that she's an outstanding attorney and very entrenched in the community as well. Be a great role model, for our kids, for staff. So yeah. We're always looking to diversify.
And it would add, not that that's the sole reason, but it would add gender diversity to the board, which has become over years a bit male dominant. And also racial diversity, which is always a good thing. So I would like to present her and take a vote on her. But is there any additional comments, questions, anything like that from anyone present? Sure.
I spoke with Rupa before the meeting, and one thing that I was impressed by, that I feel like is important, is because my children are here, and children are here, it's the mindset that people have about our children. And what I was impressed about was her excitement and her outlook on achievement and the potential that our kids have and the standard that she sees for them. That's very welcoming to me. It's very comforting to me because I feel like mindset is so important when it comes to being in this business and in this community and serving children, period. So I was very not only impressed by her resume, but the fact that she has so much of the product of Delaware's public schools, but just her overall willingness to say, I want to be here and I want to serve here, and I see where children can go with a quality education versus those that don't have it amongst your friends, which was something that we definitely agreed on. And just, I'm really excited. So I also would love to vote about her.
Right. Wilmington, Charlie? Right.
What she said, yes, DuPont is just doing the PS and they have a very nice school district.
You said students at Wilmington Charlie every year, so we love that connection.
Any other comment from board, staff, or teachers? All right.
I don't even think that's not even on your resume.
That's okay.
It's on my resume, it's not on my
Right, on your own. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, but it just shows that I've done some research. And
oh, yeah. That's
Shakespeare is pat on the back.
Well, you already found the five students at Apple. Don't you? You're going for the gold star.
I'm on a roll.
But if I could have someone other than myself just make a motion for us.
Second.
Awesome. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Awesome. Rupa, welcome aboard. I think this definitely deepens our board. We have various kind of areas on the board of operation. Jerry has deep operation experience. Mr. Cooper, previous educator experience, administrative experience. We have finance. And law is definitely something that was a goal of mine to fill. And so I'm very pleased to have you. Awesome. Very pleased that you didn't turn away and run like the Dickens.
Yeah, I thought that was brave of
I'm part of the board, and I almost ran away. So I do have another candidate to discuss, and I'll read this now, so I'll pass this out. Candidate's name is Rebecca Harkin.
Can I just save time?
Sure.
Since we all have it,
sure.
Can we just ask people to read it themselves?
Sure. Just read. And so Mr. Blossom passed this out last month, and I also emailed it to everybody. So you can kind of, everyone can read that over that on their own.
Just give us a couple minutes just to look. You know,
yeah.
Just,
Oh, he did. He passed it out, actually. Yeah, he passed it out.
So you said you met with her, so if you could comment about
it. I have not met with her.
Oh, you have not?
No. I spoke to her briefly one day, but Mr. Blossom was really really the person
right.
I met with her, and I got most of my information from him. But generally, Ms. Harkin is a working mom. She's volunteers at various schools. She was an active participant at her daughter's school. Her husband is a designer, is an architect with Holmesy, does business with us. The only thing I kind of just asked myself was, does it kind of fit one of the areas that we wanted to strengthen? I don't know that the answer is yes to that. But that doesn't mean that it's not someone that's worthy to be on the board. But that was just kind of my take. But I'm open to any other thoughts or comments.
I have a comment.
Sure.
When I reviewed this, you know, last month, I believe that Ms. Harkin from the write-up definitely seems passionate about education, her own child's education in schools. But I didn't necessarily see value in a way where we talked about, kind of similar to what you said, like finding key people, because we only have like two spots. So for me, I feel like if she wants to attend or maybe come to meetings and help in certain ways, that seems good. But when I look at like the volunteer experience and the professional experience, it seems more like design, event planning. Nothing really kind of stands out to me as a strong candidate for the board.
Well, I find just the opposite. The mere fact that her son attended Harlan School, and that she didn't have to have him there, and that especially when you know, I think he brought up her family in terms of they have the ability to not to go to her neighborhood school or to go to a private school, that they went there and that she was passionate, the story that Mr. Bloxham talked about the last time. And that I found very impressive, and it sounded like her commitment not just to her children but to all children in terms of trying to get extra resources for the school. Was something that they said that they went to the board. She went to the board about it. The board turned her down, but that she did bring that to the board. So that part is what I found something to feel that she would make a good candidate or a good member of the board.
One of the things she pointed out and Mr. Boston pointed out is and which is in kind of the bio, is that she worked with one of their board representatives on a feeder pattern that they felt resegregated schools, mm-hmm. and they went to some other states to see how they handle similar things, and was able to have an impact in that area. And they tried to also do something similar with school size at Harlan. They didn't succeed, but it was something that she tried to do. So there is definite passion, you know, if that's something that is needed. On the passion, I don't know if that overcomes some of the kind of lack of tangible experience, but that's just something I would share since it was shared with me.
I just think the fact that... that they were looking at somebody who has a child that has special needs, brings a certain dynamic, I think, and a certain motivation that may be an added factor to this board in terms of the challenges that educating children brings. That would be, I think, add another type of diversity, if not the most apparent type of diversity that you might be looking for. That I thought was an interesting characteristic of her resume.
When I look at, I think that those are all really good points. I feel like that's what's really good about everybody having like different perspectives. Mm-hmm. I'm also on another board, and with that board, what I see that's different from Thomas Edison's board is not only, well, there's a lot of diversity when it comes to race, but there is a lot of diversity when it comes to professional connections and people's. Like, I feel like there's a lot of money and connections that they have, not saying that she doesn't have these things, but what I feel like is assembling this board, it gives us the opportunity to not only broaden the diversity in regards to race and age and things like that, but it also can help us widen our reach in the community. So we want to make sure that we have people that have different circles, I should say, that we can be put in. Like Michael said, with attorneys, a lot of an accountant, things, I feel like we should put people on that can use their professional talents, abilities to enhance us in a way. With Ms. Harkin, because, and I know that I'm here as the parent representative, so for me, because somebody put their child in an inner city school by choice, it doesn't really ring as a badge of honor because I have to have my child in an inner city school because of necessity. So from that perspective, like, I understand that she has that as a strength, but what I'm saying is I don't feel like that is necessarily enough to warrant a spot when we want to make sure that our board, like I said, I just want to make sure that we get the most out of the two spots that we have. That's just my perspective on, once again, I think that she did great work in the school that she was in, even with, you know, her child's disabilities and making sure that she was a pioneer in that. But for me, I just feel like we should put people on that can take us places that we can't all go, so that we can have different avenues to be able to highlight Thomas Edison and the achievements which will ultimately bring back resources, money, and things like that.
That's going to say Ms. Hefner, Mr. Till.
I agree with you, and then I kind of question maybe how invested she may be if she hasn't attended any meetings yet.
Right, I haven't seen her present too. You know. And we've had this for what? Two, three months. Board meetings now, and she hasn't shown up. We also heard that she was hired to an architect who does work for our school, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would that be any sort of conflict of interest?
Fair point.
If we pursue further, business negotiations with Home Depot, be questioned by us.
I will open public comment. Go ahead.
Now, obviously, when I read it, I felt the same way Ms. Person felt about it. I feel like this board has struggled through certain things. I feel like right now we are at the cusp of really being, like, starting to grow in a certain way. And I feel like we need to see other options before we say yes to this particular person. Because I feel like you don't want to say yes to something just to say yes to it. And maybe there are other candidates out there who could be really amazing.
Okay.
Plus, I feel like we really have a mom who's represented. Maybe I'm being biased. But I'm assuming if you have a mom, shouldn't a mom be an Edison mother? Like, I'm not sure I don't know. If that's her claim to fame, like, then why is it not an Edison parent as opposed to somebody who represents a different school? Like, that's just my only point.
So just taking the sense of the room, and this is really your pleasure, not mine. So would it be fair to hold off as we receive additional candidates? Should we put it? I would rather. So if we're going to potentially vote her down, maybe we just hold her and kind of put it on the bench. And we have a couple of other candidates in the pipeline, and maybe, if nothing simple, then doing a comparison point.
Exactly.
We do that.
Yeah, I think, and also, in light of the fact that it was Hal that brought her here, that he's not here, that maybe it might be best that we defer on Ms. Haskin until we get more information.
I agree.
So right. I don't think it would be a bad
okay.
a bad play right
deadline?
Now.
And I know I asked this before. I know you said that do we have a deadline as to when we have to fill these spots?
I would prefer to have it filled
sooner
rather than later. I would prefer, if I had my way, next month we would have our vacancies filled.
How are we getting the word out there to get other potential candidates? Like, what's the process?
Right now, it's been word of mouth. From board staff and parents and anyone here is invited.
That's typically the way you
can yeah.
pretty much.
And me personally, I've just been for each one that I consider a couple I considered bringing, but I just kind of asked myself, is this area kind of covered?
Right.
And we don't really need more me's, so, and they tend to be similar, kind of similar experiences, so I haven't presented them. But I have also reached out in my building downtown. Lisa Bunt Rochester's office is our representative, is a couple of floors below mine. So I've asked if her office has anyone. That they would recommend to be on the school charter board. So I'll wait to hear back to see if there's anyone there. But I tend to agree with Ms. Dorsett. I mean, it's an opportunity to aim for the moon, right? Just kind of swing for the fences, and very rarely will you have this number of seats at any one given time. So you do have an opportunity to shape the board to be what you want it to be. But that's kind of what we've done so far. But definitely, through Principal L and myself, feel free to submit. I don't view it as a bad thing, right, to have four or five names and be able to, you know, to compare them, right? So just because you have a couple doesn't mean that you stop receiving.
But I think we kind of have to have an idea of sort of what kind of board members we're looking for.
Right.
So we want to expand our reach. I think what we have to be strategic.
Right.
Think about as we fill these positions. If you look at what's one area that we will all agree that we probably have not done well on as a board.
Yeah.
Right.
What's one area we agree?
Fundraising.
Fundraising should be like our number one talk. So every time you add a board member that's not a fundraiser, you now take a spot away from
somebody who
can add to that. Yeah, so I think, and there are other areas too where we want to expand, fundraising.
No, that's fair.
But I think fundraising is key because if you look at over the past 5-10 years, how much money we've raised as a board, I don't think that it would be a monumental sum. I think that has to be an area where we target. So we want to kind of try to look for people, you know, who may have that expertise. We needed an attorney. So, we want to look for. And I also believe that and this is my own personal opinion, I don't want to offend anybody. We've pretty much been a board where we've kind of just brought people on that we knew.
Right.
We kind of just brought in like our own family and friends. And I think that we have an opportunity now to be, and when we do that, we don't always do what's necessarily best for children, because by doing that, we didn't really look at it and say, well, you know, you're a great fundraiser, we need great fundraise, or you're a great building builder, you know, we're supporting people who are sort of in our network, which often happens on boards. But I think that we now have this unique opportunity to be able to expand and grow, you know, and challenge ourselves. So we may be bringing people on who may not always agree with us because, you know, we didn't grow up together, we're not friends, but it's people that are going to push us. So I think that we need to, when we look at board members, potential board members, we need to look at, is this a person that's going to sort of diversify our thinking? You know, is this somebody who's sort of outside of, you know, our own comfort zone? When we bring people on, I'm not saying that, you know, Ms. Haskin, Ms. Harkin may not be that person. I'm just saying that every time we get a potential candidate, we need to look at it through that lens, through that filter, and say, are we just going to add a person, or why are we adding? How are we going to be better in terms of advancing the school when we bring on a person? I think I look at that every time I come to you with a. Because we've gotten all kind of names of people who say, hey, I want to be on your board, I want to be on the board. But we look at them ourselves and say, you know, this is not a person that we think is going to, be a benefit to. Especially, a lot of times if we think it's something that, you know, we need to bring, we'll bring it to you. But if it's something that we already know that this is someone that's involved in some unscrupulous activities or whatever, we just don't even, you know, decide to bring it forward. And I think that's what we want to make sure that we're doing, that we're always, every time we add a board member, that we're improving the board and improving the school.
One thing I want to recommend as well is when people are asked to be a part of the board, I feel like it's nice. Like that's a great thing to do, to say they want to help. One thing that we can do is if we decide they're not a good candidate for our board, is offer them to be a part of our support. Where we say you have not made it on the board as a selective candidate, but you are, if you would like to be a part of our network of people that we can reach out to help us. So if we had, and we asked them, what's your level of expertise or what area would you like to help us at? So that way, anybody who we get that's a no for our board, we still ask, would you like to support our school? And then if we have certain areas that they could benefit from, or we have opportunities or activities at the school that they can come at to share the word about what we're doing, and if they are committed, you know, to the school, then they shouldn't mind helping wherever they can.
Yeah.
And we have that, like I said, with the other board. We call them advisees.
Advisory boards,
but that may not be in our bylaws, but we can definitely just compile a list of people and say, you know, send out emails. We're looking to fundraise. We're looking to have an event. Can we host? Do you have a space we can host? Do you want to run our newsletter? Things like that, so that people can still
be. And you want to have as many allies as you can, right? So, you know, They become sponsors, people who can speak about you when you're not in the room. Right?
Exactly.
So that's definitely something we can do. But that's very good discussion. Thanks for sharing that, Principal.
And I think that's something that came from the state board meeting, when we went through our charter renewals, that was something that they said in terms of as a board, as a school, we have to improve our fundraising because we can't just rely on state and federal funds to run our programs. That's you, as a charter, you trade, you know, autonomy, you trade autonomy for funding. So we have to go out and be more diligent about. So we have more power in our own school, but you trade that off for less funding. But we have the ability to go out and raise those funds.
Right.
You know, and I think that we have to, you know, be strategic about that.
So with that being said, I'd like to make a motion for Ms. Roper to join our board. Did we do that?
Okay. Yeah.
I want to be sure we did.
Yeah, we did. Ms. Hefner hooked us up with that. So secondly, Ms. Winder passed out some... you ain't do you have another one here, Ms. Winder? Board manuals. So one of the things I got to do expeditiously as possible. So Ms. Winder provided me the name of our attorney to comply with one of our state conditions. They need to review our bylaws, make sure it's consistent with law. So what I'm going to do is provide the condition, and I needed a clean copy. I didn't have a nice clean copy of our bylaws to provide, so this helps me out, right? So it's not a mess. I want to give something that's organized and kind of orderly. So the way I view this is Section 5, you know, Section 6, we have our bylaws, we have our personnel manual as it sits today, and we'll provide that and get our legal opinion on number one. The question is specific. Does it comply with state law? And we'll show the conditions in conjunction so they can have the entire story. So thanks for that. I'm trying to think of the best way to do it. I think I'm just going to scan a bunch of pages.
We got to include number Section 12 also.
Section 12, board policy manual. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. So I tend to do that this week.
Are you still going to meet with, you said you wanted to meet with the attorney?
No, so we need to provide, so the main condition is that our bylaws are consistent with state law.
Mm-hmm.
And so by March 31st, have an opinion on that, which is really yes or no. And if not, these are the areas that need to be addressed.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And then we have time to rectify whatever comes back. But this is the initial, what does this look like and is this consistent? So I will do that. And Ms. Winder, you shot me the attorney's name, but I'll touch base with you. Board training. I know we have some members that need training, right? So I think we should organize a board training class. I know Jerry's in need of training. Rupa will be in need of training. I think Ms. Hefner is in need of a training. Okay. Cool.
It's too different.
So can you just let me know who needs what, and maybe we can just leverage, doing one class for the two various things,
okay.
If possible, and if online is an option, shoot, we'll do that.
I think the financial training is
the financial training that's separate. And then it's the board training.
All right, two different kinds of training.
Yeah, that was the all-day training day.
Okay. How many need the board training? Two, right?
Just the new members.
Two and all the new board members.
Yeah.
One, two, three. The financial. So three, and Jerry plus the three.
Just the three, right.
Need the... board training.
That's Dana, right?
Yeah, that's Dana.
Okay. That's the one we did in September.
And also, part of the conditions from the state board was also that we have to do that ongoing training.
Yes.
Board.
Yep.
So I've already my team is already committed to being a part of that training with the board. So I know we're working with
And Dana is able to set that up. So
we're really going to need everybody to try to make the sacrifice if you can to the training, because Dana's going to do some real intense training to really help support us become a more unified, collective, collaborative board moving forward, so that we're all sort of on one accord and you're communicating the same message. And that kind of thing.
I mean, we went through the executive committee and Prince Bell and his team some pretty intense review of some surveys and whatnot, right? So it was really valuable, and it got us on the same page. So, and I think that's something that's good for the board and the staff to kind of do together, the admin team, because one of the links that got dinged, or some would argue even broken, is just the unified of admin and board. So that's what we want to work with. So those are the main three things I had, which kind of leads me to my fourth. So, you know, when I agreed to take over as president, one of the things I kind of committed to doing is being a bit more visible, and in a way, with when I was treasurer, which I did not establish necessarily the relationships that I would have liked to do. So, principal, I'm trying to think of what I've considered doing is, and I'll encourage other board members when possible to join me. I'm thinking once a month, which could potentially be overkill, or every other month. I may work a day from the school, if I can get an area or something, right? And anyone who, well, number one, just being president in the building, I'll be able to see and talk to people. But also, if there is some issues, or anyone that wants to talk, or anyone that wants to just see the president of the board, they would be able to do so, right? And maybe, I don't know, I'll come up with a time schedule or whatever. Enough time passed where I don't think anyone will throw a rock at me. But I just think that you know, now that we've got some of our immediate challenges out of the way, I just think that kind of healing and rebuild the trust is kind of a thing that I kind of made a priority. So I'll think through that. But at the end of the day, I would like to be more present and just get to kind of speak to some of the teachers and staff, right, and become an ally. So I'll think about that, and principal, I'll talk to you about that. So those are all I had for the executive committee. Were there any other board member comments?
Michael, I think you're doing a wonderful job. I think that you're definitely a breath of fresh air. From the time that we had that parent rally and you were the lone soldier still left, and I walked up to you and I said, I appreciate you coming, I appreciate you staying. And I've definitely just seen your level of, like, you stick through the tough times, you stick through the tough questions, you handle it with poise, and you just seem very committed. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Very appreciate it. I love the school. We have a lot we could do, and there's a lot of things we could do better. So we're definitely trying to get there.
Okay. Before you call for the...
Any new business?
Well, just the charter renewal report, or the final report. I haven't remember getting a copy of that or seeing that.
Yeah, that's definitely. I didn't send that out. I will.
And I wasn't at the December meeting.
But we should. We should definitely send it out. I'll send it out to the. I'll send it out to you guys.
You have the final report.
Do I have the final? Well, they sent that. What did they send us in December?
Right, but I guess wouldn't that be the final report? Yeah. Because it was our approval was based on that report.
And then the December 14th, she took those recommendations and approved.
So I guess that's what you have with the conditions, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the final report.
Yeah, so I'm a. Yeah, I intended to send that to everybody. So I'll send that out to the entire distribution, just so we all can have it. It'll take all of us keeping our eyes on it to make sure we're staying in line with the things we're supposed to be doing.
And I think one of the things I took from the meeting with Dana, where they talked about as we bring new board members forward, that everybody we bring forward, that they may not be, the board may not think that they're a good fit for the board. And they ask the school to, like, nah, don't take it personally. So, you know, we're working, you know, we're prepared for that. And I think all of us need to prepare. We may bring people forward, and they may not necessarily, they may get asked to be an advisory or part of an ad hoc committee or whatever. But I think that we need to say that the decisions that are being made for the good of the school.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily for, you know, for us. So we're prepared no matter who we bring. We know there's all, and we explain that to everybody.
Yep.
All we can do is present it to the board. It's up to the board to make that decision. So we don't come with the expectation that everybody that we bring or recommend is going to be, and we are, and we prepare people for that.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way. But yeah, definitely. And just like if we're not going to ask someone on the board, we should have valuable feedback.
Right.
Like people provided, Mr. Rosetto, on why we, you know, why we went in another direction.
Because people probably would value that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Any other new business? Motion that we can adjourn?
Motion that we adjourn.
A second.
Oh, my favorite.
Need a second for adjourn.
We can cut.
Meeting adjourned 7:45.